are listening to the podcast of the White Church at the Elk River YMCA in Minnesota. Our mission is to seek Jesus, connect together, and share His love.
All Scripture is God-breathed, which is a fantastic translation. It is the literal translation out of the text. The word is theopneustos. It's two words put together, thea, God, and pneo means to breathe. It is God breathed. This is the creative activity of God. It is breathed out by God. He is the author. And He's authored the Scriptures by using human writers and their unique personalities and styles. We don't have time to go into this very far, but just very briefly, this is what is called the dual authorship of Scripture. It means that God wrote 2 Timothy and the Apostle Paul wrote 2 Timothy. So what do we mean by that? Is it like a 50-50 split? No, it means God 100% engaged in the writing of 2 Timothy and Paul 100% engaged in the writing of 2 Timothy. And that doesn't mean that God like takes over Paul, like puts him in a trance or like he's a remote control robot and all of a sudden, you know, Paul is sitting in his tent one day and he just finds his hand is moving and 2 Timothy is spilling onto the page. Nor did Paul simply feel inspired, like, oh, I'm just so moved as I sit alongside this river and watch the water and he's inspired like Shakespeare or something. Doesn't mean that either. This is not a human book. It is like no other writing in the world. It is God breathed. God put it into existence. And, let's add this, it is meant to be useful. There is a purpose for Scripture. The Bible is a practical book, and Paul lists four specific ways when he says all Scripture is God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And you think about Timothy in Ephesus, this is exactly what he needed. And this is what you and I need. And I wonder if you can guess, just a fun little quiz here. Where's Amanda? Amanda, you're not allowed to guess. You'll see why in a second. I wonder if you can guess what event these words were spoken. You ready? Little quiz. To keep you ever mindful of the law and the gospel of God as the rule for the whole life, we present you with this book, the most valuable thing that this world affords. Here is wisdom. This is the royal law. These are the lively oracles of God. Any guesses? Keyword royal. Did you hear it? It was at the coronation of Queen Elizabeth II. June 2nd, 1953. She was given a Bible, the most valuable thing that this world affords. Queen Elizabeth, take it. It is useful. It's God-breathed, and it takes you somewhere. Verse 17, here's where all of this leads, the last phrase in the verse. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And I realize sometimes that when pastors talk about the importance of the Bible, it can seem like the deck is stacked, right? Well, of course he says that. Of course he's going to talk about the Bible. He's a pastor, for crying out loud. He doesn't have a normal job. He's weird. I sat there too for a long time. And for all these reasons and more, I'm excited for us to hear. And by the way, I just want you to know, if this was not my job, all right, this might be my calling and my vocation, but it's not my identity. And if I was a plumber or a politician or a professional dancer, I want to tell you that as a Christ follower, I would tell you the exact same thing that I share with you from the pulpit today. But I'm also excited that we have someone today who's going to come up front who ordinarily sits out there with her family. Katie Vick is a wife, a mother, and as Paul says, a servant of God being equipped for every good work. She's also a teacher and just so happens to have been my daughter's kindergarten teacher. So, very dear to our hearts. And here to share her testimony and really some practical ideas for studying Scripture. Please welcome Katie. Thanks.
Well, good morning. I feel a little bit like timid Timothy up here and a little wibbly wobbly behind a microphone. It's hard for me to put into words because I really do feel very blessed and privileged to share this little story of how, and it's really God's story, but how he has been growing me. Like Timothy, from infancy, I had family influence of Scripture and even of living a life as a Christ follower. But my childhood understanding of the Bible was very siloed. I knew the picture book Bible stories independent of one another, and I could name key Bible characters, but I did not know much about God's character other than that song we know, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. And then as a teen and young adult, my Bible study practice became one much like a debit account. I would sporadically cherry pick what I wanted from Scripture. So verses that matched to whatever I wanted, whatever I thought I needed, based on my personal experiences at specific times. I found verses that gave me what I wanted to feel, and I chalked it up as inspirational. I did not even read full stories or chapters. And much of my studying as a young adult was through devotionals that I selected, again, based on what I wanted to feel, or very surface-level topical Bible studies. I did not have a clue that the Bible was actually one big, timeless book of authority, because I did not treat it as a book that was from God, pointing us to God. And it really grieves me to think for how long I treated Scripture as a debit account. But God, those are my two favorite words in Scripture, in his goodness and his grace, it was like he grabbed me by my cheeks and he looked me in the face when I became a mom. He gave me three precious kids to raise and to know him and to walk with him. But he gently showed me that I had some work to do. He gave me a mind, and I wasn't using it to draw near to him. The Bible is the primary means by which God grows me. I find it so fascinating that God chose printed words in a physical book to give us his Scripture. Our world is full of communication by other means, especially today. But I have found that as I now study Scripture in this physical collection of books, all my senses become engaged. I get to dive headfirst into this never-ending treasure chest. I'm touching his words, and I'm circling them, I'm highlighting them, I'm underlining phrases, I'm looking at maps, I'm flipping between the Old Testament and the New Testament. I love hearing his words and just feeling them wash over me. And I love to speak and pray his words with my mouth. And I even include the sense of taste in my experiences because Scripture has become something that I physically crave every single day. And it is hard for me to put down. But please hear me. Please hear me. This is not how I felt on day one when I opened my Bible to study it differently. And this is not how I felt on day 30. And this is not how I felt on day 130. Scripture study is an ongoing process. And God met me one small bite at a time. And so in practical terms, perhaps it would be helpful to have a little peek into what this looked like for me. My first step was to find a Bible that I understood, the language or the translation that worked for me, and the NIV translation here at the Y Church is a great translation. I started in the Gospels because, truth be told, they are mostly short stories, and that really appealed to me. But my first sit-downs in Scripture were probably only about 15 minutes in length. Although time wasn't as important to me as consistency, meeting with God every day and understanding what I was reading. Oftentimes I would write out a verse that was particularly interesting to me from a passage, and I'd simply circle the words that caught my eye. And sometimes those words were repeated words or unfamiliar phrases or difficult to understand and pronounce words, and I'd have to look them up in the dictionary, and I still do this. And then I eventually moved into slowly reading chapters and books, one verse at a time. But the key for me, every day, was to commit myself to opening Scripture. If I want a relationship with my Father, and if I want to know Him well, then I need to give Him my time and my attention, just as I give my time and my attention to my relationships with my husband and my children and my friends and so on. I came upon a resource some years ago that was a total game changer for me in how to do this, how to approach Scripture. The title is Women of the Word, but there's absolutely nothing in here that's only applicable to women. It's 100% applicable to men as well. But it's a quick and easy read, and it gave me some practical starting points. And the author uses 5 P's for how to approach Scripture. The first one is reading with purpose. That's the big narrative of the Bible. And then perspective, the historical context and the literary styles. That's so good. 3 is patience. I am in this for the long haul, and so I must be patient in my understanding. The 4th P is process, asking key questions of what I'm reading. And 5 is prayer. I can do nothing without prayer. We are so incredibly blessed to live in a part of our world that has the resources we do. I can find and carry a Bible freely. I can worship openly. I can sit under Bible teachers and scholars at the click of a button on my podcast app. I can have Scripture resources delivered to my front doorstep within 24 hours. God bless my husband Ryan, because he's very patient about my Amazon Prime book situation. So I truly have no excuse to not put myself in the way of finding Him, as I've heard Bjorn use before. And so through Scripture, I have come to know God my Father, Jesus my Lord and personal Savior, and Holy Spirit my counselor and teacher. And it is truly the sweetest relationship that all of us get. Part of our Scripture for today talks about how His Word trains us. His Word trains us in biblical thinking and Christ-like character and behavior. My training ground starts here on Sunday mornings with all you beautiful people, and then it goes through into my entire week and into my own circles of influence. My training ground is also at home, with my husband, or in the car, or at the dinner table with our children. It's in conversations with friends, interactions with strangers in public or neighbors across the street. My training ground is not always pretty, and sometimes it is downright hard. And it is often uncomfortable and risky. But His Word equips me completely for everything. He leaves nothing out. There are no gaps in how He equips me, nor what He equips me for. So I imagine Timothy reading this final charge from Paul, and I wonder if he maybe felt like I did when God grabbed my cheeks to get my attention as a young adult. And I can't help but imagine that security and that confidence that Timothy must have felt to know that God provides a means to be completely equipped for everything. I'd like to share a quick little quote from Oswald Chambers. I keep this quote on this corkboard above our desk at home. Chambers was a teacher and a minister in Europe in the early 1900s. And at the end of his life, he was actually a YMCA chaplain to troops in Egypt during World War I. His quote says, "The vital relationship," I love those words, "which the Christian has to the Bible is not that he worships the letter, but that the Holy Spirit makes the words of the Bible spirit and life to him." So may I very humbly give you a charge as well. Let's be Christ followers that engage our minds and our hearts to nurture our relationship with our Heavenly Father through His Scripture. Let's set and keep an appointment with Him every day. He's waiting for us. And He will meet us where we are, and He will always have so much to say.
Thank you, Katie. And so here's what we want you to take home today. Let's put that up one more time for us to see, that the Bible is the book that God breathed for you to know Him. And that's an invitation. That you are invited to know Him. In fact, Katie is going to station herself over there by the connections table. And if you have follow-up questions or you want to explore that resource, she's going to be there after worship. You are invited, every one of us, to know Him through His Word. To heed His charge because He is for you. And He loves you. We don't have a whole lot to hang our hats on here at the Y Church. And maybe you've noticed that over time. We don't have a traditional church building. We don't have permanent seating for you. We don't have control over the thermostat. We don't have our own address. But you know what we have always had? We always have the Bible. And that has been enough. And it will be enough for you. Let's sing together.
Thanks for listening to the Y Church podcast. For more information about the Y Church, check us out online at theychurch.org.